Welcome, everyone, to the Downtown Residential Council Candidates Forum for 2012. We very much appreciate everyone being here, in particular our candidates. Thank you guys for taking time out of your busy schedules to be here. We very much appreciate it. My name is Michael Vanderbeek, and I am the president of the Downtown Residential Council. And for those of you that don't know about Downtown Residential Council, DRC, as we like to call it, is an umbrella organization for downtown's six neighborhood associations. And our six neighborhood associations are the West End Community Association, the Wilmore Historic Heritage Association, the North Pine Neighborhood Alliance, yeah, exactly, give a shout out, the Promenade Area Residents Association, the Ocean Residents Community Association, and the East Village Association. And I know we have representatives from all of those neighborhoods here. And if I could, if members of the board of directors for DRC could please stand up. Just want to make sure that everybody knows who you are and recognizes you. So this is a sampling of our board of directors. Thank you. And DRC, as I said, does represent all six downtown neighborhood associations. And there are about 31,000 people, roughly, give or take, living in downtown Long Beach. And the DRC has two representatives from each of the six downtown neighborhood associations on our board. So we are 100% community-based organization and 100% volunteer-led. And it is a great pleasure for us to be here tonight. So I do just want to, before going any further, I do want to thank the Museum of Latin American Art for hosting this forum. It's a huge gift to have something like this in our community. They can make a space available to us on very short notice like this one. And I don't know if any of you had a chance to see the gallery on your way in. They have a beautiful collection here, so do come back at some point and check it out. It's well worth doing. So that said, I do want to just go ahead and go through very briefly some of the ground rules for tonight. Obviously, you're all not here to hear me speak. You're here to hear from our candidates. So we do have a forum tonight that consists of two parts. Part one is going to be 2nd Council District, City of Long Beach. Part two is going to be 47th Congressional District, which obviously encompasses more than just Long Beach, certainly more than just downtown Long Beach, okay? The ground rules that we have set for tonight, first and foremost, I want to say what the purpose of our forum is and what some of the rules that we hope to adhere to are. So first and foremost, the purpose is for all of you to hear directly from the candidates for both races, okay? This is not a debate. What that means is that we're not going to be asking candidates to rebut statements made by other candidates, okay? The goal tonight, rather, is for candidates to basically introduce themselves, explain why they're running for office, talk about, you know, who they are, what they feel is important from an issue perspective, and then we will we'll have two questions from the Downtown Residential Council, and then we're also collecting question cards about halfway through the forum, through each forum, from the audience. So if you all hopefully got a card, an index card when you came in, if you have a pen, please go ahead and write any questions you have for the candidates on those cards. And then we have Eric Carr, who is Vice President of Downtown Residential Council in the back there. And then Gina Kruger, who's on the board for North Pine Neighborhood Alliance and also on our board, will be collecting those. And then they're going to be reading questions directly to the candidates after DRC gets through with its questions. So that's the basic format. In terms of ground rules, we do have a very tight timeline because we have 2nd District first, and then afterward we're going to transition immediately into the 47th Congressional District forum. So because of that, we just want to make sure that we're sticking to our timelines. And Laura Catavona up here for the candidates, she has a yellow one-minute card and a red stop card. So my job is going to be, in addition to asking questions, my job is going to be to make sure that all of you stop as soon as you see that red card. So don't think me rude. Please don't hate me. But I will gracefully as possible cut you guys off at the stop card. So with that said, I want to go ahead and get into the forum, the reason that all of you are here tonight. And again, we very much appreciate everyone being here. And what we want to do to start with, in 3 minutes or less, is we want to give each candidate the opportunity to introduce themselves and basically just make an opening statement and about why it is that you're here. So we're going to start with Vice Mayor Suja Lowenthal, and then we'll continue and rotate through the rest of the questions. So, Vice Mayor, if you could.
It only goes so far.
Oh, sorry, yes, the cord is a bit short.
I'll stand right here. I wanted to yes, it's a very tight leash. I want to thank everyone for being here this evening. We were here last week at this wonderful arts asset here in the 2nd District. So welcome and thank you to MOLA for hosting us. I'm Vice Mayor Suja Lowenthal. I've been the City Council member in the 2nd District for almost 6 years. And I've had the great privilege of working on issues that matter not only to the 2nd District, but to the entire city. We have worked on mobility issues. I've worked on air and water quality improvements, specifically on air. We've worked with the Port of Long Beach on water. We've retrofitted all of our storm drains in my tenure and went upstream to all the cities along the LA River to retrofit theirs and assist them with grant funding to do so, so that our LA River is not polluted. I have worked on a very, very difficult budget during a very difficult time without having to cut core services. That is a trick that is very, very difficult to accomplish, and we have a great council that's been able to do that. We've cut over 666 jobs over the last 8 years here in the city of Long Beach. That's elimination of jobs, but still core services are still in place. I've created over 1,000 parking spaces in a very parking-impacted district. Our 2nd District is the most parking-impacted district in the city, and we all know why. It's from poor planning from decades ago. I'm an urban planner with a doctorate in urban planning and public policy, and I believe that has helped me during my tenure here in the 2nd District, especially on downtown-related issues, but throughout the city. When it comes to historic preservation, I've worked on introducing legislation for adaptive reuse. We are a city that has an amazing texture, a historic texture, but we're also a city that's planning for the generations to come. And we're able to do that by preserving the historic assets that we have. You are in one right now. While it's not historic, it is an arts asset. We have many historic assets throughout the city that are at great risk today because redevelopment has gone away. And because redevelopment has gone away, we have over $1.3 billion in bond indebtedness that we have to figure out how to continue making those bond obligation payments, and that is a very tough job. This is a job for someone that absolutely not only has the record to show, but the experience to demonstrate that this city has to buckle down and be prepared for what's coming. And with that, I wanted to thank you for being here, and I look forward to your questions.
All right. Thank you, Vice Mayor. Mr. Kamer?
I'm going to stay seated. Excuse my amateur hour here. My name is Mike Kamer, and I've been a community organizer, a volunteer coordinator, and now a candidate for the 2nd District City Council seat. Most of you have seen as many political speeches and campaigns in your life as I have, if not more. And I'm not the kind of candidate that's going to sit here and recite my my resume or just go through the pomp and ceremony. That tends to happen, but I hope you'll bear with me anyhow. I'm not a politician, and I'm not interested in a political career. I'm here out of a sense of duty. I've watched Suja Lowenthal consistently fail to accurately represent the needs of the 2nd District residents during a number of key issues. This has disenfranchised the voters of the district and weakened our sense of community. When the nomination period began, I looked to initiate a change. I initially asked Logan Crowe to step up and act as a candidate, but he was not able to make that jump. He's a local nonprofit director who I think would make a great councilperson. But the deadline day for filing nomination papers came, and I stood in front of the city clerk's office wondering if I should really do this, especially knowing Stella Ursua was going to be running as well, and what a great candidate she would have been. I was actually there, unfortunately, when she found out she didn't qualify. And with no one else stepping up to the plate, I knew that somebody needed to, and so I put my papers in and knew I had to run. Many have told me not to tell you that story, but if I leave it out, I'm basically lying by omission. The fact is I'm running because there's no one else running that I trust to fill the seat. I don't trust Suja Lowenthal to suddenly change how she represents us, and I don't know that Janet has enough bite to present a challenge to Suja. amateur hour, excuse me. Meanwhile, the thought of constantly having a target on my back, of knowing I'll always be disappointing some residents with the votes I'll cast as a representative of the district, and of carrying the weight of the council seat, it all scares the bejesus out of me. But it's just not my constitution. I'm not political material. Maybe, though, maybe that's why I am right for this seat. The fact is, I'm nervous as hell sitting here in front of all of you, but I'm here because the city, I believe, needs me. And I'll do it today, and I'll do it for the next 4 years if you ask me to. So thank you.
Ms. Ballantyne.
Good evening, everyone. Janet Ballantyne here. It's a pleasure to be joining you here tonight. I love this venue. I've been to many art auctions here, and I have such great, just a great feeling when I walk in the door. It's just such a wonderful place, and I really love all the art exhibits that they conduct here, and I have a lot of friends that have purchased pieces here, and I just, I'm an art lover, obviously. Well, I want to tell you that I am the president of a very large HOA organization in the downtown area, and I represent and protect their interests every day, and I have done so for the last 4 years. I also am a businesswoman, and I work for a very large financial service firm in El Segundo. And I represent, actually, my position there is sponsor relations manager, and I manage all the key relationships for that firm, and it's a multi-million dollar firm, and we're very successful based on the relationships and the alliances that we've built with firms that support us. And that's my job. I am their liaison to the firm. I build sales tools and resources to help my firm be successful. And I wanted to share with you a couple of things tonight. My operating mandate is to bring open communication and transparency and full disclosure into everything I do involved in the city council office. And that's precisely why I got involved, because I thought those things were missing. And as I ventured around town and talked to a lot of people, it's funny how they all confirm the very same thing. They feel very alienated. They feel that they don't have a voice, which is precisely why our voter turnout is very low. People feel disengaged. They feel like the council doesn't care. And I got to tell you, when I'm on this side of the seat working for my homeowners association, I felt exactly that way. So there's a couple of key things that I'm going to do. I'm going to matrix everything we do, every single item that you say is a priority for you. I'm going to put on a matrix, and I'm going to make sure that we're actually working on your priorities, not mine. I'm going to revitalize parking. You know what? Parking is the number one thing that everybody says is a problem in our city today. And I think you just heard otherwise, but it's a huge problem, and not enough has nearly been done. And our fines are stiff, the governance is militant, and there's just not enough of it. So I really want to improve all the areas of our district, not just the downtown, which seems to be the trend today. I think it's very wrong that we keep going back to the downtown area. And in matters where we're going to cost our citizens and our constituents money, I'm going to make sure that we absolutely touch base with the citizens that are affected. And if any of you know about the recent PBID that's gone on, that's been launched. There you go.
Sorry, thank you for the comments. I apologize for cutting you off there. Transitioning.
Can
now.
I ask you a question? Are we allowed to finish the sentence? Would you be offended by that?
If you can finish the sentence very quickly. Okay, sure. Did you?
Well, the PBID, because a lot of residents were affected by it and they didn't actually know that the survey took place.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. So transitioning now into, we have two questions from the Downtown Residential Council for you. And again, we'll ask these in turn, and this time we'll start with Mr. Kamer. First question is, in 3 minutes or less, that again is the time frame, please describe what your top policy priority will be if elected, why this is such a priority for 2nd District residents, and what you will do to address it.
Sandra Roscoe at the Long Beach Post wrote a wonderful article today titled, Does Your Vote Matter? And in it, he gives voice to many district residents, including myself, who feel that their voices don't matter, that our current city leader is more focused on City 2.0 than the neighborhoods we currently occupy. I hope to change that by utilizing technology grants to implement a system in which every resident of District 2 has their voice heard on every issue that goes before City Council. Suja Lowenthal and the Press Telegram have called this a social experiment. If acting on our voices and our votes is looked at as a social experiment by our representatives, then it's time for a new administration, one which is able to accurately hear, represent, and respond to the needs and concerns of the community. If elected, I would work with organizations like Craig Connects and the Sunlight Foundation to create a secure and accurate voters' voice system, which connects residents directly with their city representative digitally whenever possible, letting the residents tell the representative how to vote on any given issue. It will make our representatives more accountable to their constituents, and this will begin where it's needed most, right here in the 2nd District.
Thank you very much. And same question to Ms. Ballantyne.
Thank you. I think the top priorities for me, really, with a shrinking budget and increasing debt, it's going to force us to make deeper and deeper cuts into all city services, right? That's a fact. But with every challenge, there is an opportunity. And I think with shrinking budgets, it's going to force us to utilize reduced municipal restrictions. We need to get out of that chokehold of some of the restrictions we have on our businesses today. Businesses in the East Village really want to get involved and do more things, especially when it comes to things like the Art Walk, that they can't. I think there's so many things that we can change, and I want to say we're about six years behind the beat on this one. Local businesses on Pine, and I've talked to all of them, they claim that they're not supported today. Honestly, I was shocked. And what are we doing for them? You know what they asked me? They said, Janet, what we would love from you is that you don't do anything to hinder us. I said, really? That's it? Absolutely. They don't feel like they're getting anything from the city today. They're not supported in any way, shape, or form. The zombie walk that took place not too long ago, that was actually done by a private promoter. It had nothing to do with the city. It was the most successful event we held in the downtown area, and the city didn't even have a part of that. How shameful. The port, spending millions of dollars rebuilding the Desmond Bridge. You know what we're asking them to do now? We're asking them to implement a bikeway and a pedestrian walkway. Why would we do that? We need to focus on reducing the particulate matter that's coming from the port. They're willing to do it. Why are we going to earmark funds to put in a bike lane? For who? We're going to serve a select few people rather than serving the masses in our community. I don't think that's right. Our first responders have been cut 3 years in a row successfully. Do you think that the cameras installed in and around the city are going to help you if you need assistance? Also, do you think the iWatch program and the little red jackets, the cute little boys that run around in the red jackets on the bikes, if anything goes down, believe me, you're not going to be helped. I think we really need to seriously think about where we're putting our funds and how we're managing our budget and where our priorities lie, because obviously our citizens are not being represented. And I've talked to many, and as I've heard, my associate here as well. So we really need to focus on what's important to all of you.
Thank you very much. Next question, and this time we'll start with Ms. Bound.
Oh, did you?
Never mind. My apologies. See, that's what happens when I start in the middle of the table. Vice Mayor Lowenthal, yes, please.
That's okay. I appreciate that. It's a great question, and the first priority really has to be maintaining city services and the quality of life that we are accustomed to here in Long Beach in a very, very difficult budget time. That's very difficult to do, maintaining city services, core services, public safety, as well as parks and libraries and all the things that make this city what it is. That's a number one priority. In order to do that in very difficult times, we have to work on partnerships, and the partnerships that we've done and developed and depended on in these last 6 years. I look at the audience. There are many of you that didn't wait for your government to do something for you. You asked government to partner with you. Many of you have been on this process these last 6 years. You have helped accomplish the very significant things that have come forward. I see Don Darnauer in the audience. I see Eric Carr. I see Kaylin. I see Michael. All of these individuals that are here working hard. That's important. That's a priority. How do you maintain city services during this time? In a very difficult time, we still managed to fill 5,500 alley potholes. That makes a difference. When you're breaking at the seams, it really affects one's morale, and that truly does make a difference. We conducted more than 6,000 code enforcement cases. We closed those cases, nearly 100 beach and park cleanups. These are all quality of life issues. 1,200 trees were trimmed. Over 1,200 parking spaces were identified without having to construct a parking structure. Those are very important things. And quality of life measures. The Port of Long Beach passed the Green Port Plan. It's a very, very large document. I think many of you have at least glanced through it. It does get into the particulate matter. It does address all of those issues. They have asked all their truck drivers over time to replace their vehicles from polluting vehicles to ones that don't pollute as much. They have the first hybrid vehicle right now that they're testing, and certainly that is going to help with the particulate matter that we deal with, especially in the downtown. The second district is more than the downtown. Actually, the downtown doesn't even make up 50% of the second district. We have historic neighborhoods, and we have the coastline. Ensuring that our coastline continues to receive passing grades and better is very, very important. That affects not only our quality of life, but really the appeal that our city has for visitors, businesses alike. What I've also worked on in terms of managing, maintaining city services is helping small business corridors. These corridors were struggling before. 4th Street Retro Row, I encourage them to take their operation to the next level, and that's becoming a business improvement district, and they're succeeding. Broadway is right behind them. These small businesses are going to carry us through. And certainly it isn't without the partnerships. Every one of you in this room that has done more than just complain about what government can do, you have done everything possible to be sure you are an adult ally in this process in creating your city and your destiny.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Now I'll move on. Sorry about that. So the second question from the Downtown Residential Council, and this time we will start with Ms. Ballantyne. In 3 minutes or less, please describe what you will do as second district council member to attract additional investment to the second district, particularly downtown.
Yes, first of all, I'd like to just start off saying when you're talking about the quality of life, Vice Mayor was noted in a local newspaper saying that it was unrealistic that one should think that they could actually help the homeless. And I did take issue with that remark. And when you talk about business corridors, it's not enough to say that we're breathing new life through our corridors and our alleys. We really need to see the metrics on that because, well, like I said before, I've talked to many businesses on Pine and on 4th Street, and they're hanging on by a thread. We need to get serious with what we're going to do to help our city. We need to roll up our sleeves and get involved, and I really think it's the time is now. What I would like to do is raise our net promoter score with all our existing businesses. That means talking to them, finding out what they need. And what I mean by that is how likely are businesses to refer other successful businesses to our city? And when the answer that I get is zero likely, totally unlikely, we have a lot of work to do. And that's basically where we stand today. So we need to set our sights on supporting our existing businesses so that they will at some point in time feel that they want to refer their other successful business friends to our city, because you know that they all have successful business relationships in other cities, and they're being lured constantly to move their business to other cities, and we definitely don't want to see them go, and we can't afford for them to leave us. So in that, I think we need to try really hard to support them, and we have to do a better job because right now it's non-existent. And also seeking corporate sponsorship. I think this is especially important. Los Angeles has the Staples Center and Nokia Center. You know, we have lots of means to bring in corporate sponsorship. And I don't mean giving them the keys to the city. This is a marketing thing. This is what I do for a living. We could certainly bridge an alliance with a very big firm to actually put their name on one of our landmarks without costing us or selling our souls to them. This is how it works in business, and this is the future of Long Beach. This is how we're going to get the revenue we need to make the improvements that we absolutely need, like police and fire.
Thank you, Ms. Ballantyne. Vice Mayor Lowenthal, same question. Repeat the question. In 3 minutes or less, please describe what you will do as second district council member to attract additional investment to the second district, particularly downtown.
One of the biggest inhibitors to downtown investment and Long Beach investment, but let's speak specifically to the downtown, was the fact that the downtown plan was not updated. It is a land use zoning document that required updates. It was 30 years old, and every project that came online the last 10 years I can speak to certainly was done by way of variances, and that is not appropriate, and that's certainly not healthy for a thriving downtown that we want it to be. The downtown plan will bring additional investment because now, for the first time in a very long time, there is an expedited process for permitting, but that certainly doesn't mean that anything is overlooked. There is a master EIR that was conducted that is active and relevant to all the projects that will come online or certainly will be applied for to come online. And within that EIR process, every project will have to go through an abbreviated EIR process as well, so that there are no shortcuts being taken through the downtown plan, but the downtown plan allows projects to go through that would be appropriate for the density as well as the height requirements of the downtown. And what is true of the plan in the downtown may not be true anywhere else, and that's why PD 30 is specific to the downtown. And I think that certainly will bring investment to our downtown area. Additional investment opportunities. Yes, we do have to support businesses. At the same time, we have to support our residents as well. City is a business. There is no city unless there is revenue. There is no city unless there is taxable revenue. So in order to support businesses, we have to increase opportunities for those revenues to come here to the city of Long Beach. Downtown is one of those areas where it's attractive to businesses. At the same time, if the city did not charge fee for service, which I think a lot of individuals wonder, well, why don't we just get rid of all the fees? If we get rid of all the fees, there is no city budget. And we know that over 70%, almost 70% of the city budget is public safety. That is a core service. And so if we keep reducing fees for service in order to support a particular sector, then we would not have those resources. And I think in order to create investment, we have to make sure we're not breaking the backs of the groups and agencies that exist currently. And in terms of the types of sponsorships that we have here, our city is thriving. Our convention center is thriving. It is a niche market that doesn't appeal to those who may look at Los Angeles or anywhere else. Putting the Staples Center label on our convention center is not going to reduce the $1.3 billion in bond obligations that redevelopment has left behind. It is a drop in the bucket. We do not want to turn over the destiny, our character, or our appeal of the city to any corporation. We wouldn't want to turn that over to anyone who has a billboard. We're trying to manage billboards because we don't want labels on our city. We would like a thriving enterprise that you as residents can control your content, your character, and really the texture of the city.
Thank you very much. Mr. Kamer.
To increase business overall in Long Beach, I'd like to work with the city manager to change how licenses are processed. Long Beach has a reputation for being an extremely difficult place to operate, especially if you're looking to open a new business here. I'd like to see an option where business license fees, whatever they are, may be delayed if the proprietor agrees to an interest rate on those fees. It allows the businesses to get up and running, the city can attract more businesses to town, and we can start to cover some of the budget gaps that we've been encountering. Next, I'd like to work on speeding up the entertainment permit process and slashing the expense of those permit fees for business owners, while at the same time creating a live entertainment tax or raising their current one, although when I was doing research, I couldn't find one. It can generate more customers and revenue for downtown establishments while making more money for the city, allowing us to take a regular stream of revenue instead of an occasional lump sum. Speaking of taxes, I do believe it's time we raise the transient occupancy tax while reevaluating how those funds are currently divvied up. Right now, we have 50% of what's taken going towards promotion and 50% going towards the general fund. It's time we reevaluate those priorities, and I believe I'm the candidate to do that. Finally, with these initiatives in place, I'd like to actively recruit businesses to Long Beach, specifically downtown. I've heard a few residents suggest the city attempt to get something like Rainforest Cafe to fill one of the empty locations, and while I don't agree that that's the right business, I do like the overall direction and the heart behind it. Now, Suja just claimed to be involved with Retro Row, yet in her 2011 State of the District address, she explained how she led an effort to leave business on 4th Street and Retro Row alone while trying to recruit new businesses to open storefronts downtown, only to have downtown falter significantly while 4th Street prospered. When I heard that, and you can see it, it's online at the district website, I was left thinking, you know, in 6 years, she's done better for business in Long Beach when she's left it alone than when she's been involved with it. So as a member of the community, she's fantastic for the environment and bikes, but she's terrible for business development. I believe I'm of a different set of mind and one which can bring new businesses and prosperity to Long Beach. So those are my positions, and hopefully many of you can identify with them. And if not, I'm probably not the candidate for you. But thanks for giving me the chance to present them.
All right. Thank you very much for your response. And I have to say we're going to transition now into the Okay, yeah, we need to go ahead and hand in your cards, guys. We're going to transition over now to the audience portion. So hopefully anybody who wrote a card, please go ahead and hand it to either Eric or Gina, on the, or I guess Peter on this side is collecting now. And we'll take audience questions. And I have to say, actually, I'm impressed so far. You guys have done excellent with time. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Okay, and these questions are actually going to be read by DRC Vice President Eric Carr. And Eric, as soon as you have a question to read, let's go ahead and start with Vice Mayor Lowenthal.
First question is, would your position on the future of cars change?
I'll repeat that again. What is your position on the future of the Art Exchange?
And that's to me, correct?
Yes.
The Art Exchange is a 12, sometimes 14-year process, project that's been in process. I was a downtown resident when the group of artists came together through the East Village Neighborhood Association. I was president of the West End Community Association, and I look at Don and Barbie Darnauer in the audience. We all have history with this project. My position is 100% support of it. I have helped breathe life into that project's survival through the redevelopment process, and they are at Acres of Books currently operating arts programs, and I'm hoping to see that that is their future home. So my position is 100% unequivocal. I am in full support of it, as I have been all these years.
Thank you. Sorry, Eric. I'll give it back to you. I just wanted to make a quick announcement. We are asking for 2 minutes on these answers. Thank you.
Mr. Kane.
Same question?
Yes.
I agree. I think the Arts District is a great project, but I would like to see... I do want to make sure that that is privately funded. We can offer some tax cuts, but I don't think that that's where public money belongs. Now, having said that, I'm absolutely a proponent of the arts. I consider myself an artist, if not a good one, but I try. And I love art, and I love public art, and I love its having a presence in our community. But, you know, we're not Lyon. We don't have money to pay artists to live at home. And I think that there's other ways we can engage the artistic community. I've suggested putting letting us have public artwork out on the Acres of Books building while we wait for another project to happen. And, you know, it's free, it's cheap, and it's a great way to beautify the neighborhood and at the same time engage the community. So I don't think we need to go broke to be creative with our solutions and our involvement with the artistic community. So again, I am for the Arts Exchange. I'm just not for putting public funding there, especially when I think and believe that we can find private funding to do to pay for the project in its entirety.
Sorry, same question. The Art Exchange, I think, is an important project, although I do somewhat feel that the future of that might be in jeopardy now due to the loss of the RDA. I think a quick win on the arts, and we did discuss this previously, would really be to raise up our art walk, to involve all the local artists that we have in our city. And there's so many artists that we have that none of us have ever seen their work. So I would really like to focus on the art walk and really develop that, because it can be so much more than what it is. Neighboring cities do a great job. San Diego, we've talked about, is just a wonderful model of what our art walk could be. And neighboring cities, too, I can't remember. San Diego, Santa Barbara, Ventura, even I can't think now, but there's so many other models that really do a wonderful job, and we can aspire to be better than them if we really put our minds to it. So I'd say let's really focus on the art walk and really back our artists, give them the support that they need, and I really think we need to help them get their things sold. And that's what the art walk's all about, and we don't nearly take advantage of that today. It's really quite sad that it's as small as it is, and people are trying. But I've talked to all the artists at the art walk, and they really feel that they don't get the foot traffic that they need. And they're not making a lot of money, and it's not really publicized or marketed. So we need to put more effort into that and raise up our artists and not expect that we're going to always have them donate their materials and make donations for our specific needs. We really need to pay them for their time and their materials.
Okay. Thank you very much. And now second audience question.
Yes, we'll start with Mr. Kamer on this one. Participation in voting citywide is shamefully low. Turnout for state and federal elections average 20% and it goes as low as 11% for municipal elections. How would you increase participation and voter turnout in the 2nd District and citywide?
Again, I cited Sanders' article from this morning, and I'd suggest you all go read it. He's got several community groups that are out trying to engage the community. I think that's one route, and I think it's a fantastic route. But there is the disenfranchisement that we've experienced when our elected officials choose a parental route of representing us, where they're going to make decisions for us rather than making the decisions that we've asked them to by electing them into office. Again, some people call that direct democracy, or some people call that a social experiment. I call it city government at work. My project of bringing this voting system in where you can vote from home, not in a binding vote, but in a way where you can see what the residents are saying they want, and then see how the district representative, your district representative votes, that's going to excite people. That's going to destroy that sense of loss, that sense that my vote doesn't matter. And I believe that's going to bring people back to the polls. So it's not going to cost the city anything if we go my route. I talked about technology grants, and there's money out there to open up the government and its transparency while at the same time engaging the community. So it's my top priority, and it's a softball question, so thank you.
Eric, can you read the question one more time, please?
Participation in voting citywide is shamefully low. Turnout for state and federal elections average 20% and go as low as 11% for municipal elections. How would you increase participation and voter turnout in the 2nd District and citywide?
Thank you. Yes, during my campaign, as I talked to every single constituent that I've been able to meet, I've been reinforcing the idea of how important it is for everyone to vote. It's really raising awareness that this is their right to vote as a citizen of the United States. It's a birthright. It's an education process that, yes, their choices do matter. And I think we need to encourage everyone we meet to get involved. And if they don't feel connected, they're not going to vote. But we need to talk to them and educate them that it's critically important that they vote, that yes, their voice does matter, and it's an education process that we should ask them to actually pass on to their friends and family. This is something everybody should be talking about. This is one of the greatest opportunities in our country to vote, and all of us should be taking advantage of the privilege. So I think it's a state, you know, a district-wide education, and I really think we take it so seriously, and we should encourage especially all our young people and really all walks of life to get out there and vote and really show their support for what they believe in, and that's the only way we're going to make changes.
Thank you. Voting in this country really is the number one franchise that we have. We don't exercise it enough. It is pretty dismal that only 10 to 20% come out, depending on what the election is, and we might even get 25 if it's a presidential race. But when it's just a council race at an off time in an off year, it's very difficult. One of the things that I introduced through the Elections Oversight Committee is for our city to consider instant runoff voting. We are a representative democracy, not a direct democracy. I don't believe that crowdsourcing is really really the way our government is set up today. It may be different tomorrow and another day, but today we are not that type of government where crowdsourcing is the way your elected officials make decisions. For individuals to become more interested in voting, if it's a convenience issue, there's no need why we have to have voting on a Tuesday. That was established centuries ago. Because it took a full day. We couldn't travel on Sunday. It took a full day to travel from wherever you were to go and actually cast your vote by horse and buggy. And therefore, elections we have on Tuesdays today. We don't live in that kind of a world anymore, and that's not necessary. We need to make voting by mail much more convenient. We need to open it up on Saturdays. Perhaps we don't all have employers that allow us to take time off during the day, even though it is the law. It is your fundamental right. We all know how difficult it is, especially in this economy, to keep our jobs. And so to risk that, to take an hour out of our day to do that, is a difficult ask. So we need to make it available on Saturdays. Be sure that more people vote by mail. Encourage people to vote by absentee votes. During our art walk, which was mentioned earlier, we have 17 galleries that participate. Certainly, we can encourage people to pick up a voter registration document right there. Every opportunity possible should be a place where people can register to vote. But really making it much more convenient, perhaps introducing instant runoff voting so we don't have a primary and a general, it's exhausting. We don't want to continue to fatigue our voters more and more.
All right, thank you very much. And that puts us right on schedule and moving into our closing comments. So I just want to make sure I get this right. I believe we're beginning with Ms. Ballantyne. I'm sorry, and 2 minutes, please.
Closing comments?
I'm sorry?
Closing comments.
Correct.
Okay. This has been great. I do want to say that we have elections for a reason. It gives us an opportunity to think about where it is we want to go as a community and what it is we want for ourselves and our families. It gives us an opportunity to align ourselves with a candidate who we feel actually does represent us best and has our best interest in mind. So with that, I just want to say I am fully committed to the council member position, and I don't know if many of you saw the Business Journal this morning. It just came out. And it said that the vice mayor is going to make a run for the mayoral race. I really think that's sad if that's true, because we really need someone in this position who's fully committed to the position. And it would be sad to waste all this time and energy for someone who's just going to abandon it actually in the next 12 months, because it would take approximately that to get ready for the next race. And I just wanted to reassure you that I'm here for the long run. I feel I do have the experience and the savvy to get us where we want to go and where we need to go based on your priorities. And I would welcome the opportunity to do so that for you, to do that for you. So thank you very much for tonight. It's been wonderful.
All right. Thank you very much. Vice Mayor Lowenthal.
I want to thank everyone for being here today. I know it's difficult to come out on a weekday evening, especially given work and family schedule. So my sincere gratitude for you to be here. And there's my son calling. How interesting. I have been in office for 6 years. And what I've learned first and foremost is Long Beach is no small town. This is a big city. It is a big grown-up city. It is not time to turn it over to amateurs. It is not time to turn it over to individuals who have not put in the work. I look at each of you in the audience. Many of you participate in your neighborhood association. You participate in your homeowners association. Then you come out into the street and you work with other organizations. When I came to Long Beach, I did that. I saw the hard work that had to go in order to fix our neighborhoods and then fix our communities and work with other neighborhoods to do so. This is not a time for us to really figure out exactly what we want to do in the next few years. This council has struggled to balance a very, very difficult budget and preserved core services in doing so. And certainly, in order to ensure residents as well as businesses thrive here, we need individuals who can not only show their record of work, but certainly individuals that have the ability to continue to work with you in the community, with the businesses that are in the community, and ensure that we move forward together. And certainly that's something that I feel that I can do. I have done that in the last 6 years, and I think this city, given how much we've had to cut, we have managed to do not as well as we'd like to do, but certainly we've been able to preserve our quality of life that we hope we'd like to see in our city. The fact that our parks are not shut down, the fact that our libraries are not shut down, is a testament to how well this council has balanced this budget in order to preserve core services. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. And Mr. Kamer, last word to you.
Again with the amateur hour here. If you pick up the Grunion or Gazette this week, at least the Grunion, I believe the Gazette, there's a great article on their endorsement policy explaining basically that they don't do that unless they see a candidate who poses a serious threat to the city. They haven't gone after me, so I'm happy that, at least according to the editors over there, that I'm no catastrophic threat to Long Beach, and neither is Suja or Janet. So, still, just because there's no irreparable damage being faced by the city, that doesn't mean we as Second District residents are free from facing an unjust failure of representation if the wrong candidate for public office is elected. As many of you have noticed, I'm not a typical candidate reading straight from the cards, and I hope that doesn't mean you see me as a dark horse either. I'm here, I'm running, and I intend to be the voice that this district has not had for far too long. And look, just like the Press Telegram wrote when they were endorsing Watkins for the 4th District, it's time to pass the torch to a new candidate with refreshing ideas for the Long Beach City Council. If you feel that's not me for the 2nd District, then I can only implore you to vote for Janet. Like I said, I'm not running because I care for a political career. I want what's best for the city, and more than anything, I see that Suja Lowenthal is not it. So, as someone who'd become a significant voice for the residents being affected by the PBID and the downtown plan, Janet's experienced the frustration many residents have had with Suja in office as well, so she's at least more likely than Suja to accurately represent the voice of District 2. Still, I believe I'm the best candidate up here, though my youth, grad student work, and unwillingness to accept campaign contributions have definitely worked against me in the traditional political atmosphere. At best, I've won votes this evening, and at worst, I've at least got you all questioning just what you received under the Lowenthal administration. So this hasn't been easy for me, and it's been a long evening for you all, so thank you for your time, and have a good evening.
All right, well, I want to just extend a big thanks to all of the candidates, Vice Mayor Lowenthal, Mike Kamer, Janet Ballantyne, thank you very much for being here tonight. And as I said, we stayed perfectly within the time limit. And as you know, we do have another forum coming up. But please, everyone in the audience, just help me thank the candidates for being here tonight.